message. And Jack, as you know, wears his heart on his sleeve. So let's just see what's coming. God bless you.
A little bit here. I'm on. I can hear me. Hey. I'm going to move these for now, if I might, so I don't trip over them. Got a little water here, just in case I'm thirsty. I got some fruit here. I got some other fruit here. I will put this here. You bet. Okay. I'm ready. Can we run those slides, please? First off, this is Nakopi. It's the village where I shared that the, can we kind of stop it at 7 or after 7? This church, I had the privilege of going out with Pastor Carlos and we dedicated the church and the well. I shared, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that during this time, they had brought the leadership up onto the stage in the church. And I actually tried to capture it, but it was, I'll get out from front of that speaker. It was, it's in a video and I didn't get a very good screenshot, so I didn't put it in. But the entire leadership of the church came to Christ that day. These were Muslims. And through the well, the dedication of the church, they said, yeah, I think this Jesus is real. And they all made the commitment to Christ. Now, if we back up just a couple, if we can. Marabwe, that's where Pastor Pedro has his little church. If you notice Makufi, which is 33 kilometers, so 23 beyond Marabwe, back in the spring when I was sharing a little bit about the trip and whatnot, there was the one village. Jesus comes to Makufi. I called it Masufi. They corrected me. It's Makufi. So Jesus comes to Makufi. And that's where they had just done an amazing, you know, they just come, they did the outreach, and just a huge portion of the village just came in an instant. Marabwe is where Pastor Pedro is. Okay, we'll just roll these. I just, kind of just a huge thank you to those that gave. I must confess the money's not there yet, and I even am a little bit frustrated. I actually sent it on the 29th. For those of you who don't have a clue what I'm talking about, Shirley and I were just in Mozambique, and we had an amazing time. We truly had an amazing time. I really got to know and to love one of the pastors, Pastor Pedro. Pastor Pedro was raised 5 people from the dead. Give your head, like, how do you get that in there? But Pastor Pedro, literally, I'm not lying to you, I'm not exaggerating, he's raised 5 people from the dead. This man is a humble man of God, which you will see in the photo. Maybe you've already seen. Here's his church. Sorry, the picture's not that good, but my little Samsung. This is Pastor Pedro. His wife has malaria. Now, that's that must be memory foam, that bed. That's what they sleep on. But Pastor Pedro was house washed away in the rains last year. So he's been living in a little blue tent behind the church. And I guess because he was actually teaching in the Bible school, they thought they could maybe use the church so his wife could be a little bit more comfortable. And so I guess they moved the bed and all that out on Sunday and they preach and have a church service. And then I guess on Monday they bring the bed back in and so she could live in the church through the week. But basically they're living in this little blue tent. That was Pastor Carlos back in the middle there. Anyway, I don't want to take a lot of time on this, but just a huge thank you, because the $3,540 that we raised in that offering converted to $2,652 or something US, and that is on its way through Standard Bank, but it's definitely taken snail mail, to Pemba. And I've been getting a lot of messages, Facebook, emails. Where's the money? Pastor Pedro was able to get a little piece of land, of which he owes 7,000 mets on, which is great. That, just to kind of qualify, that $2,600 US dollars that we sent, that I sent, will convert to about around 180,000 mets. And which is more than double what I had told you that it was going to cost to build. They told me our estimate was way low, but I believe that the money we sent is going to cover so that this man will have a house again. Now, I just want to quickly look through, just roll through them again. to some of the houses when I came into Morabwe. It'd be slide 9 to start. So this is kind of the village he's in. These are the houses that we would build. Only we're going to trowel cement onto the side of it. We're going to stop at a house that's painted pink. We're going to stop there. Now, this is actually a bamboo house, but they've troweled cement on it. And we probably wouldn't put the veranda on it. Often they'll put a grass roof on top of the metal so that it doesn't get so hot in the heat. But if we can build that house and we put about a yard of concrete beyond the floor on the outside of the walls, that house will stand for a long, long time because the rains will not have an effect on it and it won't wash away. So let's take about 2 seconds and let's just say, Lord, just agree with me, get that money to Pemba in Jesus' name. Amen. Because it left here on the 29th of August and it's time that it got there. Okay, enough on that little clip. I don't know who this lady is, but when I saw the house, I thought that's kind of what we want to build, and so I wanted to take that picture. Before I really get going, I'd like to take a minute. This is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. Can we take maybe 1 minute just of silence, just thinking about how our world changed? Lord, right now, I just want to speak a blessing upon each and every family that was affected through 9/11 that day, Lord. Lord, there'd still be people hurting. And Lord, our world truly, truly changed that day. We live in a much different world today. We live in perilous times. God, help us to understand that and help us to constantly uphold those that are so desperately in need of you. Bless them, I pray, Lord. Lord, all the first responders, God, those that will still be struggling with PTSD. And those who've lost loved ones, Lord. Touch their hearts right now, we pray. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Just before I carry on, I just want to quickly read just a little piece of an email. This is from Kipas. He's going to oversee our little project with Pedro's house in there. Kipas is the man. Actually, I'll read it. You'll understand here. I'm not sure where the $1,000 came from. Anyway, I met Pastor Pedro. Beautiful man. Stunning smile. Well, he needs to pay off 7,000 mets on his land, and then he can go about designing and planning his house. So as soon as the money comes through, we will get started. I'm on the job. At least the building cannot sink. Keep us as a man that stuck his hand up for Irish compassion. The poor guy. He's an Aussie, school teacher, came for money, pastor, chaplain. He had a pretty hard time. And he's having quite a time in Mozambique. His wife loves it, and he just struggles with the chaos. But anyway, he stuck his hand up to help us with the project for Pastor Pedro, too. So like I said, I'm going to get going here. Today is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. and our lives truly, truly, truly changed that day. And I believe it's a significant milepost for us as a world. And personally, having grown up on the Alaska Highway in northern BC and the Yukon, I think a lot in mileposts. I was born in Dawson Creek, mile zero of the Alaska Highway. Every mile, there's a milepost. 1, 2, 3, 4, right up to 15-something that goes at the Alaska-Yukon border. We were living in Sicony at the time, mile 163. It's funny, I mean, here I am 60-plus years later, and these numbers are still just like they were yesterday. Daddy, are we there yet? Daddy, are we there yet? Check the next milepost. So 163, I lived at Sicony Chief. We moved to 392, which was Summit Lake. And then we moved to Muncha Lake, which is 456. See the scar in my fingers? That was a milepost, because that's when I slid onto a brand new wharf. And I had a sliver that long, nice fur sliver sticking out both ends. The lady, the place that owned it, she happened to be an RN, but she said, I'm not cutting it open. So my dad pulled out his nice shiny jackknife, and he kind of gave her a wipe, and he went, tsk. We lifted the sliver out, and she sewed it up. That was at mile 456. That's a long time ago, and it's still like yesterday. And then we moved into the Yukon at 1202 Beaver Creek. And I didn't bother to put Brooks Brook in here, which is south. Beaver Creek's about 300 miles northwest of Whitehorse, for those that are interested. So when traveling, we always knew how far we were away from where we were going and how far we were from home. Mileposts. And that's been very, very significant for me in my Christian walk in how have I changed? What's God done in my life? Am I different than the day I came in here into the kingdom? And for me, it's been 23-plus years. And, you know, God laid on my heart this morning as I was thinking about this, and Shirley actually mentioned it at the table, at the breakfast table. But, you know, God gave me life. I had totally trashed my life. It was all about sex, drug, and rock and roll. I was a pot-smoking, woman-chasing alcoholic. That's where I came from. I'm not that today. And, you know, I don't carry that shame. It's gone. Because God has forgiven me. I've forgiven me. You know, He loves me. He absolutely delights in who I am. And I know that through and through and through. I didn't get there overnight. But that's kind of a little bit where I'm going. Just a little bit. You got some pretty neat props here. You know, what kind of fruit do you want in your life? You know, do you want this one? Or do you want this one? You know, nice. That's Shirley's lunch. She doesn't know I have this. So, what kind of fruit do you want to produce in your life? And we have to let God go to work on us. We have to be willing. We never want to forget where we came from or whose we are. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He delights in me. You know, recently I heard a testimony, and it broke my heart. I heard a testimony of a couple that grew up in the church. Both were a very, very conservative denomination. They were of a denomination that believed that the gifts had ceased with the apostles. So no healing, no miracles, no deliverance, no tongues. None of that was for today. I think how sad, how terrible. You know, that couple today, they're literally questioning, is Christ real? Is religion real? What's this all about? Is it real, or have I just been on this? Wasted my time for all these years. Both were significant leaders in the church. He actually had planted a church. I think, how sad? How sad is that? How do we get there? How do you lose that? We never want to forget where we came from. And we never want to forget what Christ did for you and what He did for me, what He did for us. It's an absolute amazing thing what Christ has done for us. Do not grow weary of doing good. Galatians 6, it's worth the read. Do not grow weary of doing good. He who's been forgiven much loves much. You know, that's been one of my scriptures. Where I came from, who I am today, is just, it's so different. And I don't want to take a whole lot of time here, but I would really exhort you to read Luke 36 to the end of the chapter. In Bible Gateway, you can check out Luke 7:47, which I'm going to read in the Phillips translation. And I would encourage you to do yourself a favor. If you go to Bible Gateway, you can, I'm echoing. If you go to Bible Gateway, you can look at all the different translations and you can just keep popping them in. It's worth the read. I would really encourage you to read it. And especially, here's the Phillips translation. Exactly, replied Jesus. And then turning to the woman, I should transpose a little bit or just show it a little bit because you haven't got it. But it was, you know, the Pharisee invites him to his home and all this kind of stuff. And of course, there's the bad woman, which we're probably thinking is Mary Magdalene. We're not really sure, but she's a bad woman. So, exactly, Jesus replied. And then turning to the woman, he said, Simon, you can see this woman. I came into your house, but you've provided no water to wash my feet. And she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. There was no warmth in your greeting. But she, from the moment I came in, has not stopped covering my feet with kisses. You gave me no oil for my head, but she has put perfume on my feet. That is why I tell you, Simon, that her sins, many as they are forgiven. For she has shown me so much love. But the man who has little to forgive has only a little love to give. That has so resonated with me over the years, because I know where I came from. I know how I had trashed my life. I was raised in the church, and I rebelled at 12 years old, and she was a downhill slide from there, because it was all about legalism and religion and that. They did not do a very good job of showing me what Christ truly, who he truly was. Father longs for our love and affection, and that is his first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that is the work that he calls us to. First and foremost, he calls us to love him. Love him. He delights it when we worship him as we did this morning. He wants us to do that literally 24/7. He wants us to do that at home, at work, no matter where we are. He wants us to meditate and think on him. Following is a sobering piece of scripture that I found in Matthew 7:21-23, and I've thought a lot on this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Do you ever think on that scripture? The question it brings up in me is, am I walking in obedience to the Lord, to what God is asking of me? He's a loving, caring Father. He absolutely delights in us. But he has requirements of us. Am I walking in those? Am I walking in obedience? Am I loving Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I would encourage you to meditate on John 14 and 15, chapters 14 and 15. For about 18 months early on in my walk, no matter where I went in the Bible, God brought me back to John 14 and 15, the whole thing. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He loves me. Constantly, constantly, constantly. If you love me, you'll obey. Those who don't obey, they don't love me. He just draws that correlation back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, you're going to show it by your obedience. What's the fruit coming out of your life? Is it real thorny? Do people like to be around you? Or is it fruitful? What happens when your bucket gets kicked? What comes out? What comes out? Dirty, greasy old grease? Muddy water? Nice, fresh, clear water. What happens when your bucket gets kicked? Do you ever get cut off at an intersection? What came out when you got cut off? You know, little Johnny says, Mom, He says, when Dad and I go to church, he says, man, we always, there's at least five idiots when we go to school. Mom, when you drive me to school, there's no idiots. You know, what comes out when your bucket gets kicked? I wasn't so proud of what used to come out of my mouth. Pastor Billy sort of triggered that in me last week when he shared about some of the stuff that would come out of him. You know, what happens when your bucket gets kicked? In Luke 10, Jesus sends out the 70 with instructions to heal the sick, proclaim the kingdom of God is near you. In the 70, they returned all excited. Even demons are subject to us in your name. And I believe that Jesus' answer shocked them. I think it literally stunned them. His answer, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Amen. Do you have that assurance of life? Are you at peace on the inside that you are His and heaven's your home? Do you have that peace? You can have that. But He requires obedience. It's not about works. It's not works. When we make the decision, yes. But what's our job? Our job is to firstly to love Him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not about the ministry. And these guys were really, really excited. Do you have that peace on the inside knowing that you are the Father's delight? He absolutely loves you. You know what? You are amazing. Claude, you're amazing. You feel amazing? You're amazing. Robert. Robert knows he's amazing. So how do we get there? Believe that we might see. As I was thinking about this, I got thinking about the Olympians right now. Of course, we've just had the Olympics, and now we got the Paralympics going on. How do those athletes get to that level of performance? What's a huge part? You know, you talk about all these psychologists, sports psychologists and that. These sports psychologists help them to come to that place of belief. I can do this. I can get the gold for that podium. So they believe in themselves. They're constantly feeding themselves as they're exercising, as they're working. So how do we get there? We need to feed our faith continually. We need to devour this. We need to be in a state of prayer. We need to be meditating on God. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's about thankfulness. I am so thankful for what He's done for me. We hear Pastor talking about that Sunday after Sunday. He's so thankful He doesn't have to die and go to hell. I am so thankful for what God has done. Shirley and I have had an amazing, rich life. Do we squabble? Now and again, we can get into it. But we have an amazing, rich life. And we need to walk in thankfulness. Feed your faith with thankfulness. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and realize that you've been praying, you've been thinking on God, maybe praying for somebody specifically? Do you ever get those dreams that they're just riveting? You just, you know, your eyes pop open and you just realize you've had this dream that is so intense, it's so real that you know it's a God dream? Am I the only weird one? You know, I love those times, but it puts, you know, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, sometimes you just... Fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. It's because of His incredible, it's incredible love for us. One of my favorite scriptures is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Always, or rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for that's His will for God in Christ Jesus for us. How do we pray? How do we pray 24/7? Is that what He's talking about? What's He talking about? I think He's talking about those times when suddenly you wake up in the middle of the night and you realize, I've been thinking on God here. I've been praying. I've been praying for somebody. It's not laborious. It's part of who we are. And it comes through walking in thankfulness with the Lord. He just moves us there. You know, Paul said, like in Philippians 3:13 and 12:13, he says, not that I've already attained it, but I press on to that goal. None of us are there. I'm certainly not there. None of us are there. But we press on in Him and allow Him to do it. I can't do it on my own. I need Him to do it. When I'm in Mozambique, it never ceases to amaze me how thankful and happy the people are. They've got nothing materialistically. They've got so little. Pastor Carlos, our son, he gets about 6,500 mets a month. That's $100 US a month. So that's $1,200 a year. That's not very much money for him to live on. You know, they have so little, but they're so thankful. And by the way, I put something on Facebook, if anybody happens to see it, about a computer. I'm trying to get Pastor Carlos a laptop. I think I got a line on one now. He needs a laptop, but he honestly doesn't have the money to get himself a laptop. So I'm trying to get him a laptop. Just saying. They're so rich in spirit, the Mozambican people. They're so thankful with so little. I think that's what strikes me more than anything. It's just the love that comes out of those people. They're just amazing, amazing, amazing people. Most of us have heard it said that without tests, there's no testimony. Victory over tests become the mileposts, those places of remembrance. I've got so many in my head. The day I got saved. The day I'm sitting beside the guy that first discipled me. I said, Ken, I said, I want to get baptized so bad. I want to get baptized so bad. I had been baptized in the Catholic Church as a little boy, but that wasn't a baptism of repentance. It wasn't, I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm sitting there with Ken. I said, Ken, I want to get baptized so bad. But Shirley and I are living together, and I won't live in hypocrisy. What should I do? He just smiled. I'm so thankful that he just smiled, because if he'd have started laying down the law, I'd have been gone. I'd have been gone. But you know, he just smiled. Holy Spirit was working on me. I was a month from the time I got saved till I got baptized. God did a lot of work in that first month. And I'm so thankful for what he's done. That was a test for me. That's created a milepost for me to walk in obedience to the Lord. One of my life scriptures. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Listen to it in the Phillips translation. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers and sisters, I'll add that, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go until that endurance is fully developed. So don't run away. Just until that endurance is fully developed. And you will find you have become men of mature character, men and women of mature character, with the right sort of independence. And if in the process any of you does not know how to meet any particular problem, he is only to ask God, who will give generously to all men and women without making them feel foolish or guilty. To me, that's an encouraging piece of scripture. Paul's exhortation to Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you. Stir up the gift that is within you. Stir up the gift that is within you. I want to shift gears just a little bit. I made the statement that after 9/11, life really, really changed for us, and we are living in a different time. And I believe that is especially true in our Western world with the technology. And Gosh, you jump on an airplane, in 2 days you can be anywhere in the world. Except Africa, it takes three. Media's made it very, very aware that what's happening throughout the world. We're very, very attuned to what's going on in the world. And we are living in perilous times, I've said that. And I personally have a real sense of urgency in my spirit. I believe we need to wake up and realize the time and the season that we're in. I think the time of kind of sitting back in the easy chair and loving God for us, I think those times are over. I have a real sense of urgency. Let's not grow weary of doing good. Press into God what he has for us. Wesley Campbell, when he preached here on the 21st, he talked a lot on not getting discouraged when trials are closing in on us. Rather to stand strong in knowing that God is very, very near. Listen to Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 in the Phillips. In conclusion, be strong, not in yourselves, but in the Lord, in the power of his boundless resource. Put on God's complete armor so that you can successfully resist all the devil's methods of attack. For our fight is not against any physical enemy. It's against the organizations of powers that are spiritual. We're up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. Therefore, you must wear the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist evil in its day of power. And that even when you have fought to a standstill, you might still stand your ground. Take your stand, then, with truth as your belt, righteousness as your breastplate, the gospel of peace firmly on your feet, salvation as your helmet, and in your hand the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Above all, be sure to take faith as your shield, for it can quench every burning missile the enemy hurls at you. Pray at all times with every kind of spiritual prayer, keeping alert and persistent as you pray for all Christ's men and women. When your bucket gets kicked, when it gets kicked, what comes out? What comes out of that bucket? You know, we're going to have a time of communion. Probably now is a really, really good time to just examine yourself, as he exhorts us to do. Romans 8:1 tells us there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But you know, as I've been talking, and if you realize that there's some thorny things in there that are in there, maybe you want to just bow your head before the Lord and just ask his forgiveness. You know, for me, the hardest person to forgive was me. I had made my life such a mess. I had hurt so many people that it took me a long time to get through that of forgiving myself for the things I've done for the people I've hurt. But you know, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So I got a lot of this comes out of my life, but I still got a little bit of this now and again. You can ask Shirley. I'm thankful that this is less and less. I'm not too thorny. But I would like to have even more of this. I would like God to come out of me. Every time, I want people to see God in me, you know, like we pray or sing, less of me, more of you, God. That's what I want in my life. And that can only happen as I meditate on him. I just kind of skipped one piece, and I just want to take a second and go back to it. When I shared about the 70 coming back, and I said, I believe Jesus' answer shocked them. Before actually reading that, I intended to kind of just paraphrase a little bit. And I know for me, a lot of times it can be, ministry is exciting. When I'm in Mozambique and I see the lame walk, I get excited. When I see the deaf hear, I get excited. When I see the blind see, I get excited. But what's the root of that? What's the... Why does that happen?
Because there's incredible love poured out. There's incredible love. And I think that's why Christ said, first, love him, the first and foremost, to love him. And I kind of see him. Come on, guys, gals, let's huddle up here. Listen, just huddle up. It's not all about ministry. That is important. I gave you authority. But what's more important is that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's more important than all the ministry. If you don't do one more thing for Jesus Christ, as far as any kind of works or ministry, he delights in you. He loves you. Does he want us to? Absolutely wants us to hold. And we are in an urgent and precious time where I think we need to be a little bit more aggressive. I've had some interesting conversations in the last little while about... Personally, I believe we as a church, and I'm not talking Faith Works, but on the whole, the Western world has done a not very good job of representing Christ and who he truly is. People see religion, and people don't want religion. They want relationship. If I can, if people see Christ coming out of me, as far as that's what shows, they're going to come to me. I get plenty of opportunities. You know what? I'm the best bus driver this kindergarten boy ever had. Doesn't matter, I'm the only one, and he's only known me for 4 days, but I am the best bus driver he ever had. Amen. He's somebody special. I told him that already. My kids are somebody special. You guys, you're somebody special. God says you're amazing. Look at that. Put your thumbs up. Don't be shy. You're somebody special. You are. By your Spirit. Lord, give us all wisdom, knowledge, understanding of these times. Help us, Lord, to not grow weary of the battle. Rather, help us to take courage, knowing that you, Lord, are going before us.